True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Throwing, catching, blocking, tackling, running. You can design up all the scheme plays you want in the world, but you got to do the fundamentals right.
Here's Ocheski off a great punt. And gets popped at the 15. We heard that all the way up here.
You know, last year, Quinn talked a lot about, you know, developing this culture, this identity, and he wanted to play fast. He wanted to be a physical football team, a very competitive football team that, you know, the opponent, win or lose, knew they were in a game. And I think we saw that, and I think it was that sort of tone over and over again last year was set more so by the special teams than it was even the defense. Yesterday it was set by both the defense and the special teams. That dude, Nick Ballore, has been hitting people since he arrived on special teams. McNichols hits people on special teams. Reeves really gets after people on special teams. They have been an excellent coverage team, with the exception of that Cowboy game last year. And, you know, remember last year when the touchback came out to the 30-yard line, Washington still was a team that tried to kick into the landing zone and cover kicks more than almost anybody in the league. They felt it was a tone setter and they thought they would be good at it, and average starting field position, they would benefit from it. And now that it's coming out to the 35, all those kicks are going to go into that landing zone. But yeah, they averaged, the Giants did, 20.5 yards on kickoff returns. Pretty good job. And just 8 yards on punt returns. Washington just has to get better in two areas. You know, it's one game, every season's different, understood. But last year, they didn't have their own return units give them advantages in games, and they didn't take the ball away enough defensively last year. If they can increase takeaways, and they didn't get one yesterday, and they can get bigger field flips on returns, they should, you know, have a really good, you know, average points per game number at the end of the season. All right, 301-230-0980, your chance in a moment. Here were just a couple of other observations. I mentioned, you know, Kroski merit over Rodriguez. I think that is significant. They might dress four running backs in other weeks. I think they had to bring up that extra wide receiver and Chris Moore. That may have impacted Rodriguez, Chris Rodriguez's ability to be on the game day roster. But Kroski merit was the selection, and he made them look good for that, no doubt. How did they lose that challenge on Terry's third and five catch, second drive in the second half, in the third quarter? That looked like a catch to me. I thought that was a really good challenge. I was surprised when they came back to from commercial and that call on the field was not overturned. Terry played the most snaps, if you're wondering, and I looked this up during the break. Terry actually was out there. We were wondering whether or not, you know, he would take the normal number of snaps offensively. Well, he had more snaps than any wide receiver on the team yesterday. He had 55 snaps, 79% of the offensive snaps. Debo was second, you know, one less snap. And then Noah Brown was out there for 47% of the snaps. But Terry got a full allotment in game one despite the long holdout slash hold in. And then what else did I have here? Oh, and I looked up the snap counts on him. I'd made the note after yesterday's game that Johnny Newton, because I was told early, you know, in the summer that they were expecting big things out of last year's first, second round pick, especially as a pass rusher. And Johnny Newton, you know, I made a note that I've seen him on the field, but not as much as I thought I would see him on the field. Now, he was out there for 26 snaps. It's actually more than I thought he was out there for. I thought he may have been out there for like 10 snaps. But he was out there for 38% of the snaps. Now, in terms of defensive tackles, Payne played on 66% of the snaps, Kinlaw on 59% of the snaps, and then Newton and Goldman basically played the same number of snaps in the rotation, each getting 26 snaps or 38% of it. Bottom line is, I think Johnny Newton's got a chance to be a really good player, especially as a pass rusher. So I was happy to hear that about him. I thought that, you know, he did a decent job against, you know, as a tackler when he was in there on a few plays. But I'm hopeful that 95, that's his number, is going to be a big factor. Now, it looks like Kinlaw Payne could be the true strength of this D-line. We'll see how it evolves. But I just made the note during the game. I'm like, I just haven't seen as much of Johnny Newton as I thought I would. 26 snaps is more than I thought he was out there for, but still, it was 26 out of, what, 68 defensive snaps they were out there for. All right, 301-230-0980, what'd you like, what didn't you like? First of all, before I get to calls, Max, your chance, what did you like, what didn't you like from the game?
So there were a lot of things that I liked on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, you kind of touched on it, the defensive line, this newly revamped front, like Javon Kinlaw and why am I blanking on Deron Payne's name? But they played great in the middle. They were really staunch defensively, especially in the run game. Another two guys that I think deserve a little bit of or a lot of credit, Quan Martin and Will Harris. Yesterday, Will Harris was a crash dummy.
Yeah, he was excellent.
He played great. He's really versatile. I'm very excited to see kind of how he grows into this defense. And then Quan Martin is definitely taking that next step that Dan Quinn has been hyping up all offseason. So, I mean, those two guys, him and Deron Payne and Quan Martin were, you know, vaunted by Dan Quinn most of this offseason. They seem to be taking those next steps. But the trenches, just on both offensive and defensive side of the ball, I thought the offensive line looked really good. Josh Connerly played pretty well. There was only Brian Burns hit him with a little shimmy shake and slid past him. But that was kind of the one play that he got on. Other than that, he was pretty solid. So I was a big fan of this offensive line as well. So, yeah, trench play, that was kind of my big takeaway. There are a lot of mistakes that they got to clean up, you know, penalties and things like that, getting on the same page offensively. Jaden and Terry got to clean it up a little bit, but Jaden even said in his post-game presser that they were doubling Terry a lot, and Terry's kind of earned that, especially with the big contract he just signed. But, yeah, I think there's a few things to clean up here and there, but the trenches looked great, and that's where you build from.
All right, let's get to the phone lines, 301-230-0980. Let's start with our guy Joe in Springfield. Joe, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin, how you doing?
Good, Joe.
All right, I was at the game yesterday, so I seemed a little hoarse. I apologize if my voice is going in and out. But anyway, what I like, Jaden Daniels and Debo Samuel. I mean, I understand it's one game, it's week one, but the combination was working well yesterday. I know Debo dropped one or two passes, but he redeemed himself, especially on that reverse. And I love to see more of that. I mean, he wanted that touchdown. That's why he just dove into the end zone. It's a great combination, and it looks like it's going to get even better. Bobby Wagner had a game yesterday. I mean, whether it was tackling the backfield, a big stoppage on third down, or even when he did a hit on Russell Wilson when Russell Wilson was going out of bounds, he wanted this game. And it's really clear that the team wanted to bring him back for his leadership and determination. Deron Payne played well. I mean, he looked like he was almost like a one wrecking crew out there. I mean, and he looked like when he tipped that pass, it looked like he was trying to intercept it as well, Kevin, at one point.
Yeah.
What I didn't like, the penalties. And I understand, you know, too many mistakes, especially holding penalties and, you know, pass interferences. The rough and the passer, Kevin, late on Bobby Wagner, on Russell Wilson, that's a ticky-tack call, because how are you supposed to hit a quarterback? And it looked like soft to me from where I was sitting, but
it was questionable. It's certainly not the worst call I've ever seen.
Yeah. I mean, but, you know, short work week. And one side note, look, I understand some fans are going to say, well, Terry McLaurin, I mean, he did have the most snaps yesterday for a receiver, and yet he didn't get involved much because he was double-teamed. But he started off slowly last year, and look what happened. And Jaden Daniels is going to spread the ball around to all the receivers on this offense, because we have more than one playmaker now in Debo Samuel.
Yeah.
So it's a work in progress.
I think that's
so
true.
People need to spell get up too early. So
Thanks, Joe. Yeah, I think that's true. I think there is a lot of belief in spreading it around. You know, how many times did we say last year, or a lot of you said, how do you not get Terry McLaurin, you know, five targets in the first quarter? Like, you just have to start off that way. It's not the way they believe they need to do it. It's just not. They got a lot of dudes that they think they can, you know, with the ball in their hands, can do things, you know, and they've added a couple in Debo, in Bill, offensively. You know who they like a lot? And I think if they didn't have an Eckler or a Kroski Merritt, and it was even more of a running back by committee, which I think, you know, we kind of thought there was a chance it would be, I'm going to tell you that as a person and as a player, they have great belief in Jeremy McNichols, not just as a special teamer, but as a runner as well. I just think there's a belief in the scheme and a belief with this quarterback that there's a lot that gets elevated around him. But let's go to our guy Bones. Bones, your reaction to their season opening win yesterday against the Giants.
Man, shout out to Matt, and thank you guys for taking my call, man. Man, I'm just so impressed with how that defensive front four stood up, man, in that game yesterday, man. You know, we got some Kinlaw, Armstrong, Payne. You know, they look really good, and I'm impressed with Trey Amos, because Mikey Sarah still, and you can see the big difference in Marshawn Lattimore, you know, as far as what the people talking about, Jaden missing some receivers and overthrow Terry and all that. Man, you know, yesterday was a preseason game, man. We were still in preseason mode, man. You people need to hold still, man, because I'm telling you, man, this ship is getting ready to take off, man. So fasten your seatbelt and hold on, man. We can ready to do something real big. I love you guys, Kevin, man. Thank you for taking my call. Hey, look, the crowd was awesome too, Kevin. I was at the game. The crowd was awesome. I'm trying to get Sabah to come on back to the game. Thank you, guys. Love you. Peace.
Good call, Bones. Let's go to Ian. Ian, go ahead.
I, too, was at the game. Rare appearance for me. And
really?
My simple takeaway, it was a kid's birthday.
I didn't think I didn't think you left your house very often.
Only to see you at your shows, Kevin.
Okay.
So my observation is very simple. Russell Wilson is not an NFL quarterback. He's on his third team in 3 years for a reason. And I was shocked that Jackson Dart didn't come in. With that being said, your job is to win. You win a home game. You're winning a division game. It's a great way to start the season. I'd rather be 1-0 than 0-1. And yes, I think they will improve, as will every team. But it just shows you the impact of a quarterback. And when Jaden Daniels didn't even, like you said, had a B-plus, a B game. And yet you felt like they could win the game with him. And on the other side, they didn't. And it just shows you the impact of an NFL quarterback trumps everything. It doesn't matter who your running back is. It doesn't matter who the O-line is. The VORP on the remaining rosters are so minimal. And we saw it all across the league yesterday. Go through almost every game, and you could always say, who had the better quarterback? That's the team that won. And Washington had the better quarterback, and they won yesterday.
Yeah, I think in yesterday's case, the quarterback disparity was really incredible. Russell Wilson, I agree with that statement, and I said that in my recap. I think he looks like, at best, a backup quarterback in the NFL, and I think that it's the reason he's on his third team, as you mentioned, and I talked about in 3 years. They're gonna turn to, I guess, I don't know this for sure, there seems to be some belief in Jackson Dart. Personally, I thought he was kind of a creation of Lane Kiffin in college, but we'll see at the NFL level. Dable's actually a good play caller and a good offensive guy, but they don't have a shot offensively to be very good with Russell Wilson looking, by the way, skittish. Now, part of that was what Washington was doing defensively. Totally get it. Part of that is he doesn't have his best offensive lineman in front of him in Andrew Thomas, but he just doesn't look like a starter anymore. I totally agree with that. And guess what? Thursday night, they're going to play a starting quarterback in the NFL in Jordan Love. And we'll find out over the next few weeks, because Geno Smith, you know, is a capable starting NFL quarterback. He's the opponent, you know, in week three. And then you get Penix Jr. We'll see. Then you get Justin Herbert, you know, in week five. So you're going to get, you know, three of the next 4 weeks better, much better situations. And we'll find out whether yesterday was a defensive trend and something that, you know, is, hey, it's clear they're much better. They're going to be a good defense this year. And if they are, man, I think the upside is massive. Or if yesterday was part that they are better, but it was also that the other team has a guy that really at this point shouldn't be in the league as a starting QB. Let's go to Junie in Frederick. Junie, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, Kevin? Appreciate you taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, dude, I mean, I was at the game too, and I say, you know what I'm saying, I enjoyed the game. We had a, I'm satisfied with the W, but the only small thing that I didn't like was seeing Debo back there returning kickoff. You know what I'm saying? I know he has the ability, you know what I'm saying, to maybe take one back to the house, but I just don't like the risk of energy for him. When Debo gets hurt, he gets hurt, you know what I'm saying, and he's out for portions of the season, and we need him, and I don't want to see him get concussions or anything back there returning kickoff. But I think the Jets had a good return.
Yeah, that's interesting what you said. I think that the kickoff returns with the you know rules that were put into place last year are viewed as much less of a high impact play and much more of a line of scrimmage play. And I think that's why Debo's back there. Debo would not be back there underneath the old rules where players are getting, you know, a 50-yard running start downfield, or actually a 65-yard running start downfield. I don't think that would be the case. But I think you see a lot of running backs, you see a lot of starting wide receivers or you know, weapons offensively being used in that role. I didn't like his decision to return the opening kickoff. That ball should have been at the 35-yard line. It went into the end zone, sailed a yard deep in the end zone. Thanks, Junie. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Anthony in D.C. Anthony, go ahead.
So I like the defensive performance. I'll say that if we can play this way or better Thursday, then I'll be a strong believer and the defense can be what we hoped it to be for the whole season.
Right.
As far... Go ahead.
No, I agree with that. We need to see it against a much better offensive football team and quarterback in particular.
Right. As for what I don't like, people need to start thinking critically. When you, if on offense, if you're lucky, you get 60 to 65 plays a game. depending on how the defense is playing, a particular player could be double team or they could be single. Jaden said Terry was double most of the game. I couldn't see it on the TV, but I believe him. Secondly, between running and passing, they had 30 runs and they had 30 passes and the rest were runs. So there are only so many balls to go around. If you remember,
yeah, but keep in mind, because he scrambled on six of them, there were like 36 called pass plays and about 25 or 26 called run plays. I actually thought they could have run the ball more yesterday than they did. I'm talking about with running backs. Not looking at those straight, you know, pass attempts, rush numbers can be misleading, especially with a quarterback like Jaden, who's going to scramble a lot on called pass plays. But anyway, go ahead.
That's true. But I think the Giants showed you what the lack of a second option looks like. If they couldn't get the ball to neighbors, they had nothing else going on. So you got running plays. You may have your own opinion of Noah Brown, but last year Noah Brown was a viable second option.
I agree.
So now you got Debo, and then you got Jalen Lane. So what's your point? The distribution will come. People need to stop getting on Terry after one game is what my point is. Who's getting on him?
I haven't heard who's getting on him.
There are fans calling different shows saying, you know, Terry was basically a non-participant and things of that nature.
Well, I didn't think that at all.
The distribution will be there. No, I think he should have had a third catch overturned on the challenge. But they've got a lot of ideas
offensively, to your point, which is what I think the point you were making, is that there are a lot of options. You only get 60 to 65 offensive snaps. You're going to run it on half of them, hopefully. Yeah, we get that as NFL fans. I didn't think Terry was a non-participant yesterday.
By the way, he blocks too.
Don't forget that. Exactly. He's always been a willing blocker.
There have been calls on different shows. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Anthony, thank you. Yeah, did you want to make another point? You can go ahead and do it. Okay. All right. Everybody on hold. We'll do another segment of calls, 301-230-0980. What'd you like? What didn't you like? There's another observation I made that I wrote down that I didn't mention about the pass rush, specific to who's on the field and when. I'll mention that when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
They're looking for a point guard who's logged a lot of games in the NBA, who is going to run an offense that they trust when Jalen Brunson's on the bench and or if he gets hurt.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pressure up the middle. Daniels sees it, gets rid of it. Eckler. Good move. Austin Eckler cuts back. Spinning inside the 25. Still going. Austin Eckler for a first down. That was sensational.
Loved that play, that catch and run by Eckler. So here is something that I haven't mentioned on the show today. So I've now gone back and looked at the Giants' third and longs, all right? So basically third and eight or longer in the game to see who the pass rushers were. You know, this is something we talked about, you know, all offseason, even before Von Miller was added. And then it's like, well, Von Miller is going to be in there in third and long. But who else was going to be out there with him? You know, I thought Luvu and Miller had a chance to be their best pass rushers. I liked Armstrong as a pass rusher this year. And then I was wondering what they would do with the rest, Payne, et cetera. So they had basically five third and long situations in this game, the Giants did. And on four of them, Luvu, Armstrong, Payne, Miller. Luvu and Miller on the outside, Payne and Armstrong on the inside. And then on one of them, Kinlaw was in there for Payne. So they basically think on their best pass rushers are Luvu, Miller, Payne, and Armstrong. And then Kinlaw was in there on one of those third and longs for Duron. Duron had one of his knockdown passes, you know, on forcing Wilson out of the pocket and knocking down that pass. You know, what's interesting in watching those third and longs is nobody's in a three-point stance. They're all up at the line of scrimmage, and there were several instances of stunts. But if you're wondering who they think, you know, based on this first game, could be matchup related, etc., who they think their third and long, let's go get them without blitz pressure. They did not send five in any of those third and longs. In fact, to be honest with you, and I'd have to go look at this, and unless that the numbers out there, Next Gen might have it or somebody else might have it, I didn't think that they pressured with more than four a lot in the game, period. I thought they were aggressive, fast, tackled well, physical, but I would bet you that their blitz percentage was low yesterday. I may be wrong about that. See if you can find blitz percentage numbers. I think Next Gen puts them out there. Or is it the one that the Post uses, True Media or whatever? I don't think we have access to those numbers. But in terms of, you know, because I thought there was a chance, honestly, that Johnny Newton would be used in those situations inside as a pass rusher. I thought that there was, you know, a chance that, you know, a guy like Wise would be out there. But no, the four that they, at least based on this opener, that they feel like are the best opportunities in a four-man rush on third and long, Duron and Armstrong inside, Luvu and Miller outside, some stunt, you know, action, and nobody in a three-point stance. They're all up at the line of scrimmage, which is interesting. All right, back to your calls. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let's go to Jalen. Jalen, your reaction to the 21-6 season opening win over the Giants.
Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Jalen.
So I was very pleased with the season opener, and I know a lot of people have mentioned the defense and the run game, but I wanted to highlight the special teams. I thought Matt Gay was perfect. So it was nice to, you know, finally have a season opener without any hiccups in the kicking game.
Well, he only had three extra points. Out. Didn't attempt a field goal. But yeah, he made all three extra points.
Yeah, that's the main thing. As little as it may sound, but extra points are just as important as field goal attempts. So it was nice to have a clean game from Matt Gay. Nick Beloit stood out on kickoff coverage. Luke McCaffrey, it was nice to see him get back there on the kickoff return and, you know, get some good yards. No turnovers on offense is another thing that I like, despite, you know, the penalties and certain setbacks that we had. It was nice to see them make plays when they had to make it. Obviously, you know, with the defensive line, their run defense was good. Both lines of scrimmage, for that matter. I like how the offensive line controlled the line of scrimmage also in the run game. And I just like our explosiveness overall, you know, with our running backs, with Bill, Eckler, and then McNichols. And you see Debo and how he adds, you know, a level of dynamic explosiveness and ability to the run game. So top to bottom, I thought it was a very solid performance overall. And hopefully defensively we can continue to be consistent within the way that we played, because I think that that's going to go a long way with us taking the next step this year. So overall, I was pleased, and I'm looking forward to Thursday to see if we can, you know, build upon that performance. So thank you guys for taking my call.
Thanks,
and hail to
thanks
the
for the call.
Go.
Two things on your call. Number one, Debo only had one carry in the game. It was the touchdown run, but he was a potential runner on several plays, so that's important. Number two is, you know, one thing in you mentioning special teams that I didn't point out as it relates to Matt Gay, two of his kicks were touchbacks, bring it out to the 35. I think it's really imperative, especially for a team like Washington that feels like they cover kicks very well, and I think they did that last year with the exception of the Dallas game at home. Matt Gay's got to be, he had four kickoffs in the game yesterday, right? Three touchdowns, so three scores plus the second half kickoff. Two of them were touchbacks. You cannot give teams the ball at the 35-yard line, especially if you're confident in the way you cover kicks. So Matt Gay, you know, I saw this throughout the league yesterday. Kickers are trying sometimes to get it into that landing zone, but the ball's sailing into the end zone. I guess it's harder than we think for that ball to land in that landing area. You know, you can't have it land short of the landing area, or the ball automatically gets whistled dead and it comes out to the 40. But you don't want, especially special teams-wise, if you feel like with guys like Ballore and Reeves and McNichols that you cover kicks well, you can't have two touchbacks. You know, it's the Giants, so it didn't matter. You know, giving them the ball at Washington's 35-yard line wasn't going to make a difference in yesterday's game. But you can't give the Packers the ball at their own 35 to start two drives in a game. Let's go to Aiden. Aiden's calling from Hagerstown. Aiden, thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Hey, Kevin, you got me?
I got you, Aiden.
So, really, well, mine will be one short thing. Want to talk about Bill and then kind of the offense as a whole. That 42-yard run by Bill at the end of the game, I think that was the biggest example of why I personally felt like trading Brian Robinson was a good idea. I loved Brian Robinson while he was here. Did a lot of good things for the team. But to just be honest about it.
Well, yeah, that's why they did it.
The ball,
yeah, they did it because he was going to be
ball,
costly.
You were
going to
be excited. If he could get 8 yards, you were excited. Now with what Bill showed, Eckler showed, Debo, Terry, and Jaden, those are the five guys that are going to touch the ball the most. Every time the ball is snapped, there's a touchdown possibility, no matter where you are on the field. Doesn't matter. And when B-Rob was in the backfield and taking handoffs, that wasn't the way it is. And I think that just really shows that Cliff really wants, and probably the team as a whole, wanted to take the explosiveness of the offense up a notch from where it was last year, which I think should really excite everybody. Because, I mean, like I said, every time the ball snaps, doesn't matter who's in the backfield, who's out wide, you have a chance to go the whole way in one play, no matter what now.
Yeah, thanks for the call. Appreciate that. I'll tell you one thing on that run, the one from the goal line. First of all, blocking up front's exceptional, but his vision to see that, you know, there's an outside cut and then an up cut up the field, and he's got burst. He's got very good vision. You could see that from his tape in New Mexico. Is he the fastest back in the league? No, but he's got a really good burst for sure to get it, you know, after that quick decision, quick cut back to make teams pay. Let's go to our guy G from the shop. G, what's up?
Yeah, man. Yeah. Everybody that's on Bill line and saying he this good and that's why Brian Robinson is gone, that came down to money, man. They seen
a lot of it did.
Bill's skill set. Yeah, that's a fact because they see what Bill did and they think they can get the same that they got out of Brian Robinson for less money. And like you said, he do got more of a burst than Brian Robinson, but Brian Robinson got better vision than people give him credit for. Let's get that straight. But the Terry Pundit, my man Anthony called, the Terry Pundit is always going to call in and say you didn't do enough, after, especially after contract disputes, because people looking at Terry with the contract dispute, they wanted to see him with 8 catches, 2 touchdowns for 300-400 yards. And let's just be realistic, because we talked all season about running back by committee, but J.D. Five is so good, he makes everybody better. We doing wide receiver by committee and pass catches by committee also. We look like the superior team too, Kevin, and that's good because we was playing a division rival. We usually make them dog fights, even when the teams ain't as good on our level, we make them dog fights. And we clearly was the more stronger, meaner team on all three sides of the football, you know what I'm saying? And there was only 2 plays I could say we got punked, and that was the Burns, the 2 Burns sacks. That's the only time that we responded well. I think I see a football team in one game that saw our strength as controlling the football and the tempo and flow of the game, and we nipped that Achilles heel that we had last year by stopping the run. Because I don't care what nobody say, Ken Law ain't get a lot of credit, but he was that man is scurry out there.
His presence was felt. I got something for you. I got something for you. And I got something probably for Paulie, too. Neil in Rockville mentioned this to me, and I actually think there's some truth into this. You know how I've talked about how Mahomes over the years sometimes looks bored and he makes things more interesting than really they should. Like, he almost wants it to be kind of one of those crazy plays that he extricates himself from a difficult spot. Neil in Rockville said, do you see any of that with Jaden? It's not that I see that with Jaden, but I see a confidence level that's so high that he's not fearful of, like, negative high-risk plays and the results from them, because he feels like the next snap he can overcome it. And so, A, do you see that? B, I think that they need to button that up, because even though they overcome second and longs all the time, I don't want them to take unnecessary shots and put other players at risk in some of the plays where he just maybe is trying to have more fun. Do you know what Neil's saying?
No, you're exactly right. Shout out my man Neil from Rockville. Anytime I need a lawyer, I'm going to call him. But he's exactly right, and that's how I know y'all done been around players that really can play. Because when you got the – you said it, Kevin, it's confidence. Confidence, I'm going to make this play, and even if I don't, I'm going to make the next play. And when I do make this play that don't nobody think I'm going to make, people going to be tantalized, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And to Paulie, and to all the people that started betting, because y'all it's too many new bettors out here, Shane.
Oh, God,
and I bet
so
on
true.
Football. Hey, to all y'all new bettors and Paulie, don't text me or call me if you got my phone number and the game ain't over, because he jinxed my ticket.
There's nothing worse than that. There's nothing worse when one of your guys texts you and says, hey, good call on that game, and there's still 10 minutes left. Don't ever do that to me. Don't ever.
And then the next text, and then the next text he sent when the game over, talking about something I taught him. Don't count your chickens before they hatch. Yeah, you dummy. Lose my number, Paulie.
See ya. Speaking of Paulie, he is on hold. Let's go right to him. Paulie, go ahead. Did you hear – what did you make of what Neil in Rockville suggested? Because we talked about Mahomes. He gets bored because of his confidence. Do you see any of that in Jaden?
Hell to the W's. How you doing, big guy?
What's
I'm
up?
Still here laughing, man. But answer your damn phone, G. I wouldn't text you.
Well, you can't text somebody before the game is over if he's got a bet on the game.
Hey, listen, man, he's best on every game. What are you talking about? I wouldn't talk to him at all if that's the case. Yeah. Hey, but look, what you're saying is that's what separates these guys, that confidence. And another thing, those guys, they're not just doing it on the whim. They practice that. Jaden is practicing them passes with Debo. He's practicing them passes with Terry. Well, you know, when Terry was there. You know, so it's not something he's just trying on the field. This is from repetition. That's why he's not scared to make those tight passes or to try to make those passes, because he's practiced that over and over and over in his mind. I mean, when he's at home, he got the virtual glasses on, right?
Yeah.
He practiced this stuff. So,
but you know what I'm saying. Sometimes he makes a play into something that maybe it doesn't need to be made into, because he's just capable of it and he's confident in his ability to do it. What'd you think of the game? Go ahead. Give me your quick take.
Hey, you know what my take was? It was about up front on offense and on defense. We dominated up front on offense and defense. How many times did you hear Dexter Lawrence's name yesterday? No, I can't remember. Like, he arguably the best player. Arguably was the best player on the field, on defensive player. You know, but I told you, I know it's only one game, but I told you all offseason, I said, see, this defense is going to be ferocious this year. Telling you, you know, we talked about it the other day, Kinlaw and Payne. You know, Payne is in a different role this year. He's not the guy that's going to eat up the double teams. He's the guy that's going to get a lot of one-on-ones. And you've seen it come to fruition yesterday, man. So, you know, first game, a little shaky, a little rusty, you know what I mean? But, hey, you can't hit on all cylinders in week one, you know? So it's something to build on. You know, we got 2 days to get better, and it's off to Green Bay, man. I'm ready. Hail to the W, baby.
Yeah, can't wait for Thursday night. If you're on hold, stay there. We'll take a few more calls. Ben will join us at 12. We'll go around the NFL next hour, and you'll hear some of Dan Quinn's post-game presser as well. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. Don't forget, you can watch us on our Team 980 YouTube channel. When you get there, hit the subscribe button and hit the like button.
All right, happy September 8th. It is Victory Monday for all Commanders fans in the area. I am Max Ames. Here's what's happening. The Commanders, aforementioned, they beat the Giants by a score of 21-6. The biggest story of the game is the revamped defensive line looking solid, keeping Russell Wilson in check. First time a Commanders defense has held an opposing team to zero touchdowns since they beat the Cowboys 25-3 in Week 7 of 2020. It was the first time the Commanders have not allowed a touchdown in a Week 1 game for the first time since 1999. The Mystics, they were drubbed by the Indiana Fever yesterday, 94-65. The Nats, they beat the Cubs 6-3. Mason Thompson credited with the win. Jose A. Ferrer gets the save after the Nats score 5 runs in the top of the ninth inning, including a Josh Bell 3-run home run. The Nats head down to Miami tonight to take on the Marlins. First pitch at 6:40. Nats on deck with Charlie and Dave at 6:10 on 106.7 The Fan. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live every day from 10 to 1. You can catch Den's Office throughout all of football season. Don't forget to hit the like button whenever you do decide to join us and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that is what's trending.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
They're looking for a point guard who's logged a lot of games in the NBA, who is going to run an offense that they trust when Jalen Brunson's on the bench and or if he gets hurt.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ben Standing's going to join us at noon. We'll go around the NFL next hour. It was quite the week one. By the way, starting with Friday night's game, after we had spent much of Friday's early show talking about Cowboys-Eagles, how about the Justin Herbert performance in Brazil? A lot to talk about in terms of the rest of the games, including a game last night that truly was epic. And we may look back after, you know, the next 4 months of regular season and say that was the best regular season game of the year. It's going to be hard to top it for last night's Buffalo comeback to beat the Ravens 41-40. By the way, there was an interesting sort of John Harbaugh situation at the end of that game, so we'll get to that as well. Dan Quinn, we've not played any of his sound post-game. He also is going to meet the media, I think, a little bit earlier than he did last year, 12:30. We'll try to carry some of that, or at least get you some of it before the end of the show. All right, a few more calls, and then we'll get to Ben. DC in Roanoke. DC, go ahead.
Great day, Kevin.
What's up, DC?
Man, everything is good, brother. I'm definitely excited because I saw that line of scrimmage yesterday. We dominated on the offense and defensive side. Of course, that led to us running the ball well, running by committee. I think that's going to be good for us throughout the season instead of just having a lead back, all of these guys sharing their carries like that. And with the long season and us getting into the postseason. And then on the defensive side, I got a question for you, and then I seen yesterday Louisville and Von Miller almost had a pick. I think that our line is going to have about two picks at the line of scrimmage this year because they know the game and they know how to play these screens and stuff like that. And then it seemed like Louisville was a step slow on a couple plays that I know he can make, especially those ones in the backfield on screens and things. Did he seem a step slow to you?
Not necessarily a step slow. He missed a tackle early. He didn't get necessarily – I'd have to look at the pass rush. I didn't think Louisville was at his best necessarily. Okay. I do think it was telling the lineup they put out there on third and longs. You know, there's no doubt that they view Louvu as one of their four best pass rushers. And to have Von Miller and Louvu on the outside, Armstrong, Payne on the inside, it's going to be interesting to see if they can get consistent pass rush pressure this year without blitzing. Did you find those blitz percentage numbers or not?
Next Gen Stats didn't have blitz numbers, which I find shocking.
Okay. So, yeah, I'm going to guess that they did not blitz a lot. Yeah.
I know Quan.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, DC.
I know I seen Quan had a blitz and Bobby. I don't think we blitzed a lot, but we sent some exotic blitzes when we did. It was some in different ways. I know that. But yeah. I love that we dominated the line of scrimmage, man.
No doubt. Thanks for the call. There's no doubt, too, that Wagner, when he has responsibility for the running back, if the running back stays in to pass protect, then he's got a chance to be a pass rusher. Let's go to Sabah. Sabah wants to weigh in on the opener yesterday. Go ahead, Sabah.
Hey there, Kevin. I've been kind of busy this morning, so I probably missed a lot of the conversation earlier. And I was excited. The one thing that was a negative for me is I had too much company over. I got to stop doing that because you cannot focus when company is in. You know, they just want to talk and play cards and stuff like that. And what I saw
What are you doing? Why are you inviting people over on game day?
Some people just kind of showed up. So, and then the ones I did invite, it was supposed to be like 12-1 and bye. and they kind of hung around. So that was a problem. I got to learn. I'm new. It's the season has just started. You know, I'm not in the groove yet. I got to go back to my isolationism.
Yeah, you got
to
get in your groove.
I tell you, I was watching football till, you know, that Baltimore Buffalo game. That was amazing. I mean, I just was watching the 4 o'clock games. Anyway, so what I notice is that my husband calls him Jesus Daniels. So we're going to call him Jesus from now on. He played really well. That man is very confident and poised, and we've all said the same thing. But what I liked is when he was not accurate, it didn't bother him because he knows he has, you know, another play, next play. He doesn't wallow in self-pity and or get mad at the wide receiver or get mad at himself. And another thing I love about our offense is I used to be able to predict the plays, Kevin. We all did. Oh, this is going to be a run. Oh, this is going to be a toss. Oh, this is going to be a run. You know, I can't predict the plays now. They're very different. There's something going to happen every time. I don't know, and you know the defense doesn't know. And as far as our defense is concerned, I don't know if we're really this good on defense, but I tell you something, who's really bad on offense with Russell Wilson, that's the Giants. And, you know, that was my surprise team. I think that was because of what I saw from Jackson Dart in the preseason. Because we didn't this is whatever they had. I was surprised they didn't bring Jackson Dart in the second half. I thought for sure he would come out and play.
I think we're going to see him a lot earlier. I mean, if this is Russell Wilson and he's on his third team in 3 years, he's a backup quarterback in this league now. I got to run Saban up against a hard break. Right. Ben Standing is going to join us next, everybody.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
My job is to try to get us to a championship. That's all I care about. Because remember, when they fired Tibbs, what they said in their PR statement that they put out, and that was, we're all about championships, and I'm paraphrasing. We want to win a championship, and the reason we essentially fired the coach is we don't think he can get us there.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.